So let's open up our scripture. The scripture's in, this is kind of a repeat message. I've preached this message before, not that long ago, but not here. So I'll take the liberty to preach it again. Hopefully not word for word, but Joshua 20. Joshua 20, verse 1 to verse 9, I believe. The city of refuge. So the city of refuge, Joshua 20, verse 1 to 9, city of refuge. So we'll just read it first, and then we'll try and apply it to the gospel, which is very appropriate, I believe. Verse 1, Joshua 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer, or the manslayer, that kills any person unaware and unwittingly or accidentally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that does flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the manslayer, up into his hand, because he smote or he killed his neighbor unwittingly or accidentally, and hated him not before that time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from where he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bazer in the wilderness upon the plains out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for strangers that sojourned among them, that whosoever kills any person at unaware might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. So this is a very amazing story, city of refuge. In the Old Testament, this is the Old Testament portion where basically, I'll just give a quick overview on the cities of refuge. What is a city of refuge? So basically, there are these six cities. It's mentioned here, these six cities. So God appointed six cities in the land of Israel. And these cities were designed almost like a refuge, a place of safety for someone who killed another person accidentally. So, nowadays we could apply it to, driving on the highway, somebody smashes into the other person, kills the person, and then somebody wants that relative. In that instance here, the relative would be able to come after the killer in revenge. He could actually revenge that person. So in the Old Testament, a situation might be where they're chopping down a tree. There's lots of chopping going on, lots of tree felling going on. And a tree could fall down the wrong direction. Instead of going this way, it could fall down this way and kill somebody who's chopping wood over there, and he could die. Or another instance could be maybe a guy says to the other person, hey, come with me. We'll go to the other side. And the guy could say, is your boat safe? Is it a safe boat? Oh, yeah, it's a good boat. I made it myself. It's guaranteed. And he jumps on. He goes across the water, and it sinks. The guy couldn't swim, and he dies, the other guy. And there's different instances, many different situations. The axe head could fall off. When they're chopping wood, the axe head could fall off, fly off, and kill somebody. Or a piece of wood could fly and kill somebody. Many instances where somebody could accidentally kill somebody else, accidentally. So and so God is basically making a way of escape for this person guilty of manslaughter. We would call that manslaughter nowadays, like killing somebody accidentally. You know, you didn't mean to do it, but it just so happened. And you could flee from the place to the city. And there were cities, six cities. So Jordan River kind of split Israel. Most of the land was on the west side, but there was some land on the east side as well. So God said, I want three cities on this side of the Jordan, the west side of Jordan. I want to have three cities strategically placed on this side. And then I want three cities strategically placed on the other side, a safe distance, an equal distance approximately, spread out throughout the whole land. So there's safety for everybody. There's safety for one and for everybody, for the stranger. So if a stranger killed somebody, he could even flee there. If a foreigner killed somebody, he could flee there. It didn't necessarily have to be Israelite. Anybody, safety was provided for all people. But the first thing we have to bring out in this story, to get safety, let's say you are guilty of this, or I am guilty of that, that situation, we have to, first of all, we have to acknowledge our sin. And that's where it starts. It's first of all, when you kill somebody, you have to accept that you are actually to blame. You're guilty. And all of us are really guilty before God. So in this situation, this is just a person who's guilty, like the guy who killed somebody accidentally. So in this situation, it's a specific person. But in our case, in our situation here, all of us are manslayers in a sense. We've all done things not only accidentally, we've sinned against God intentionally. So we've actually done evil on purpose. But, you know, to apply it to this situation here, the first step for this man's safety was he had to acknowledge his sin. He had to acknowledge his problem. And the Bible says we must do the same thing to be saved. To run to the city of refuge, to be safe, we have to acknowledge I'm a sinner. The Bible says for all have sinned. Everybody has sinned. Every person on earth. Doesn't matter how young you really are. You know, we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all done evil. We've all done bad things. And there's different degrees of sin. But we all have a bucket full. We all have a big pile of sin. You know, maybe my pile is as high as this hall here, this church, and maybe your pile is not so big, you know, or bigger, but it's a big pile, a lot of sin. There's a lot of sin in the duration of our lives. So first of all, we must accept that. We must say, I am a sinner, I'm lost. So if this guy, the first thing he had to do is accept it. If he said, no, I didn't really kill anybody, the guy's laying there dead, I didn't really do it. I didn't do it. That'd be very foolish because there's no safety for him because the report is going back to his in-laws, to his relatives. Report is going out. They're running, telling his relatives, his brothers, his dad, his uncles, his whole family is going to find out pretty soon that this guy killed this person that they loved. So he could have a few options. One option is he says, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, you know, and he's just standing there while the avenger of blood is, the word is going out. He's getting closer to dying. Or he could say, you know, I didn't really mean to do it. You know, I didn't really, I mean, yeah, I did it. I have sinned. I have done evil. But I didn't really mean to do it. The ex, it's the ex's fault, or he shouldn't have been there. The guy, he's dead, but it's really his fault. I didn't mean to do that. Or the guy could say, you know what, actually, I did it. But it's not really a big deal. It is my fault, but it's not really a big deal. You know, and that's how different people would respond to the gospel nowadays. That's how people nowadays in the world, that's how their response is. They either blame shift, they blame somebody else. They actually, first of all, acknowledge you're not sinners. I know some people, they would actually be very angry. If you told them you're a sinner, they'd be very angry. They would be upset that somebody dared tell them they're a sinner. Because some people are very self-righteous. They think they're good. So some people would never want to be saved because they don't need saving. They're good. They're good people. And then there's those people who, you know what, they don't think it's a big deal. They don't think sin is no big deal. And you know what, we're all sinners. You know, they lump themselves together in a big boat. And you know what, he's a sinner, he's a sinner, he's a sinner. Therefore, we're all sinners. Therefore, we're all good. That's wrong. That's the bad way to look at it. Doesn't matter if we're all sinners. We lump ourselves. We've got to look
upward. We've got to look to heaven. What does God think? What does God say? How serious is sin? You know, it is a very big deal. You know, it doesn't matter what we think. We could drive down a highway and you know, go 100 and 200 kilometers an hour. You know, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. I can go as fast as I want. You know, I'm just going to go. It's no big deal. I'm only going, you know, 50 kilometers over, 100 kilometers over. You know what? The officer, the police officer will have a different opinion. He'll say, this is actually very serious. Are you crazy? Are you insane? You broke the law. This is a very big violation. So he'll take you up on that, and he'll throw a big fine at you, maybe even taking your vehicle away. So it doesn't matter what we think, it doesn't matter what we say, and it doesn't matter how bad we think sin is. You know, we could say, oh, it's no big deal. You know, Adam tried that, you know, in the garden. He maybe thought it was no big deal. It was just a little sin he did, you know, back in the garden. He just took the fruit, and you know, God took it very serious. God took this sin very, very serious. He actually kicked them out of the garden. He eliminated, moved them out. Just a little. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't murder anybody, Adam. But he disobeyed God. And I like the analogy. I've used this before where, you know, just the example for lying, for instance. Just a lie, you know. How serious is a lie? And, you know, we're professional liars. You know, that's what the human family does. We lie. It's like it's exaggeration or a falsehood or holding back some truth. So there's many ways we can lie. There's many ways we can, and maybe even not telling the whole truth in a situation. So let's say we lie to a child. You know, let's say we're parents and we lie to our little kid. And yeah, it's no big deal. You know, like as far as God is concerned, it's a very big deal. But as far as a relationship with that child, you can lie to that child. He might not even pick it up. He might even be able to pick it up. But it's not really, no big consequences, really. You know, and then you can lie to your wife, and that could be very serious. I mean, that's just another step up. That's a more serious situation, lying to your wife. I mean, there will be consequences. You know, there'll be a big fallout. I hope we don't do that, but you know, it could even maybe lead to divorce. Hopefully not, but it could be very serious if you lie to your wife. Or you could lie to at college. You know, you could lie even at college. You might get kicked out of college, or you could lie to your boss on your timesheet. You could put wrong hours on there. You could falsify your time you worked. You could lose your job. So it just gets more and more serious. You lie in court, you know, you're under oath. You lie there, and you could get perjured. You could get 5 years in jail for this, and it goes on and on. It's a more serious, you know. You can see lies are bad all around. Lies are just devastating. But really, the Bible says all our sins are against God. So it's not just to a child. It's not just to your wife or your husband or to a government or to whoever, to your boss. Every lie, really, all sin is against the holy God. The holy, who He looks down, He sees all things. The Bible says, every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to God. Every one of us shall give account before God. He will answer to God for everything we've ever done. He sees everything. I mean, we do a lot of sins we do. Nobody knows about it. You know, a lot of our sins we commit right in here, right in our head. Nobody has any idea. Or even the things we say or the things we do. Most time nobody knows, but God knows. God knows all things. God knows our hearts. He sees everything we do. He's basically like on us at all times. He's like a police officer. You know, like when you're driving on the highway and you see this the cop following you behind you. You know, we're pretty good drivers. We don't do anything wrong. We're dead center in the middle of those white lines. No, there's no violation there. Exactly 70 kilometers an hour. Till the cop is gone and away we go. It's not really as concerning anymore. You know, it's like, well, I can do whatever I want now. But the cop, he's there. All of a sudden we behave ourselves. It's the authority there. And that's kind of how we should, in a way, we shouldn't fear God, but that's kind of how God is. He's like always on us. He's always watching us, every step we make. So it's good to, so step one is we have to acknowledge our sin. You know, we have to say, you know what, I am in trouble. I actually did that. It's a bad situation. You know, I'm doomed. I mean, you know, in that situation, the guy's coming, the killer is coming for you. You know what? The best thing to do is to just go. Just go. Just run. Just run for that city. Don't question. Don't make any big excuses. Just go there. Like, go for the nearest city. You know, and then the guy,
He could be foolish. He could say, you know what? There's another city right there. There's a city over there. The city of refuge is there. Very clear roads. Apparently, they constructed really good roads towards these cities of refuge. Really good roads, well marked, well maintained, bridged all the way. The rivers were bridged. They were professionally marked roads. Everything was in tip-top shape. You know, and even if they're up, they weren't even going up too high on hills. They kind of carved through, apparently, they carved through the hills to make it easier to get there. And those roads were within a day's journey. You could guarantee get there within a half to a one-day journey. You could get there. So that the furthest point away from the city was only 1 day's journey. So there's no excuse. So this guy, the murderer could have said, not the murderer, but the killer could have said, a manslayer could have said, you know what, that city's a little bit too far away. I'm going to go here. This is a better way. That's a better way. But it says refuge this way. Oh, I don't care what that says. I'm going to go this way. And they go into the city right there. You know, go their own way. You know, the Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray. We're all going our own way. You know, and the Bible also says, in Proverbs says, there's a way which seems right unto a man. There's a way that seems right. It seems good. It's legit. It's like, yeah, that makes sense to me. This way. You know, God has his way, but I got my way. I got my idea. There's a way which seems right to us. It seems good. You know, that's how false religion works. Like you look at around the whole globe and you see people are doing that. You know, they're making up their own ideas. They're not going God's way. God has his way very clearly laid out in Scripture what the way of salvation is. Very clear. God makes the rules. It's his heaven. He decides. People come into my house, they have to come my way. I have to invite them. I make the rules. Even my business, whoever works for me, they follow my rules. They follow my authority or my way I want to do things. And it's God's heaven. It's God's salvation. He decides how he wants it done. And he's made it very clear. But many people, you know, look, all these false religions, and they all want to do their own thing. They're trying to get into heaven their own way. There's the city of refuge is clearly laid out. The Lord Jesus Christ. And they're saying, oh, no, you know, you come to my church. My church is the best church. You know, my church is the easiest way to get to heaven. You know, and all these churches say their church is the best hope for mankind. You know, and there's all these different churches. You come to the Catholic Church. You come to the Mormon Church. You come to all these false churches all over the world. And they all say, you know what, our church is better than the other church. And they're all a false way. They all lead to death, you know. And you could go from one church to the other church, and really, like one brother here says, you're just switching lanes from the broad road to another lane on the broad road. You're just kind of going. You're just switching lanes, going down to the pit. So this man, and that's kind of the application of the gospel. We could do that. We'd be very foolish and do that. But no, we should just agree with God. I'm a sinner. It's my fault. This is serious. You know, the killer's coming. The avenger of blood is coming towards me. And I got to go. I got to go hastily. And the Bible says, flee. The Bible says we're to flee from the wrath to come. There is, the best thing we could do is we should flee. You know, who is the avenger of blood in this situation? Who's the avenger? Who's the guy coming after us? We're the guilty party. We've violated against God. Who is coming after us? Who's the manslayer? Well, there's different ways to look at it. Some people might suggest it's Satan coming after us. You know, Satan coming after us. You know, or some people could say maybe it's the word of God coming after us. It's the law of God, the Ten Commandments coming after us. You know, the word of God will actually condemn us. The word of God will show us we're sinners. You know, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not. You know, if we didn't have the word of God, we wouldn't really know where we're at, but the Word of God kind of tells us who we are and what we've done that's wrong, and that there's serious consequences. So it depends how you look at it, you know. And the Bible says there's debt to follow. The Bible says for the wages, the payment of sin, what we've done, the payment of sin is death. There's judgment. God's going to pay us. He doesn't want to judge us. I mean, I talked to my class yesterday, ESL, and the verse, I think the verse we were discussing was, I've not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The Lord Jesus Christ has not come to this world to destroy men's lives. You know, he's not come to
send us to hell. That's not his passion. That's not his mission. He doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to save us. You know, the disciples said, you know, let's bring fire down from heaven. Disciples wanted to burn cities up, burn men up. And, you know, judge this guy, you know, judge this guy. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, no, I didn't come to do this. I've come to save men's lives. I'm the Savior. I'm not the judge. One day, he will be the judge. One day, he will have to judge the world. He does, but that's not his default. His default is to say he's a Savior God. He wants to save. He says, whosoever will, let him come unto me and drink. Come to me. I will save you. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he will be saved. I am that city of refuge. I am the door. And this man here, he had to run for safety. He couldn't look at the city and have all these things. Yeah, I'm bad. I did kill somebody. It's my fault. It's very serious. But if he just stood there and he looked at the city and didn't do anything, that would be very foolish. Very, very foolish. Or if he decided to run halfway there, or actually just slowly go there. You know, I'm just going to slowly go there. Eventually, I'll make it to the city. That'll be very, very foolish. And how many people are doing that in the world? They're like, yeah, eventually I'll get saved. Not today, but maybe tomorrow. Not tonight, but maybe tomorrow. And they slowly walk towards the city. You know, eventually, I'll get there. What if the guy overtakes you? What if death overtakes you? You know, and what if the guy decides, you know, I'm going to run to the door. He comes right to the city of refuge. He's pretty close. He's right outside the door, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to go for a nap right here. I'll throw my tent down. It's a good place to camp, pull out the coffee. You know what? I think I'm safe outside the door. And he falls asleep, and all of a sudden, he's overtaken in sleep, and he dies. This man, the manslayer comes and kills him with his buddies, and he's dead just outside the door. That'd be so tragic. Can you imagine if somebody came so close? They're just outside the door. I think the Bible talks about a man called Abner. Abner was a general in the army of Israel, and there's another general called Joab. So Joab, and one of the cities of refuge was Hebron. Hebron was one of the cities of refuge. So Abner came and made peace. It's like two opposing armies, almost like Russia and Ukraine. Kind of use that analogy. So they were at war with each other, and eventually Abner comes over and makes peace with David. So Abner's for the other side, and he makes peace with King David. But Joab is a general of David's general. He's a big boy. And the other general from the other side, he comes and makes peace with David. And he goes away. And then Joab comes up and he finds out. He's like, what were you doing? I made peace with Abner. Are you serious? He was very upset, Joab. And Joab went after Abner. But the story of this is going back, Joab had killed Abner had killed Joab's brother. You know, he had killed his brother in war. His brother was a very fast runner. Joab's brother, he was a really quick guy. He ran after Abner to kill Abner. And Abner said, don't run after me. I'm going to kill you. Don't, like, let go. But he kept running after Abner. He wanted to kill Abner. And what Abner did, he just took the butt end of his spear and went back. And right through the heart. And he killed Abishai, I think his name was, if I'm not mistaken. And that was Joab's brother. So Joab was very upset. It's not really applicable here in the sense of he did it intentionally, but it was a wartime situation. So it seems like Abner went to Hebron, but just outside the gate of Hebron he stopped. If he went inside the gate of Hebron, he would have been saved. It seems like he was just outside, you know. And Joab came and said, Abner, come over here. We'll be friends. You know, two generals. And then they hugged, and he just stabbed them. He stabbed right between the heart as well. Just what he had done to his brother, he stabbed him right in the heart. So just outside the city of refuge, he killed him. And David said, you died like a fool died. You know, you should have gone inside the city. You could have been safe inside there. I mean, I think that's kind of applicable here. But he was just outside. And the nice thing about this gate, this door, the city of refuge is open 24/7. You know, what's more frustrating? You go somewhere, you want to buy something, and you go, oh, it's just closed. It's closed. And it seems like it's always closed. You know, when you live a busy life, you come and you want to go in, you buy this thing, and it's closed, door's closed. It's always closed. Oh, Saturday they're closed, Sunday they're closed, or they close at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. It's not more frustrating, you know, and when you need it the most. And it's not like that with God. You know, praise God. I mean, if this guy, he's running for his life, he came to the door, and the door was closed. closed for business. That'd be tragic. And the guy came to slayer. The main slayer could come and kill him right outside, you know. Praise God, tonight, the door's wide open. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the city of refuge. His doors were wide open all the time. And it's the same with the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter. You can be saved right here tonight. If you feel you're guilty, if you feel like you're in trouble, you know, the wrath of God is upon you. You're in big trouble if you die before you get saved. Today is a good day to get saved. Right now, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And even tonight, this evening, in the middle of the night, you wake up, you decide, you don't want to be saved now. The door is wide open. It's available for all mankind. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God's not taking a holiday. He's not taking time off. You know, he's always there, you know. And I remember in my life, way when I got saved 25 years ago, where, you know, I did my own thing. I lived my own life, you know. And I heard the gospel not many times before, but I was kind of raised in a Christian home. My mom was a believer, and she would always tell me, you need the Lord Jesus. You need Christ. You need to give your life to Jesus and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't really get it. You know, I didn't really get it. I was blind. You know, blind? We're all like blind men. We really are like blind men. You know, in Jesus' day, there's people walking around and they were blind. They couldn't see. They couldn't see a thing till the Lord Jesus touched them. Then all of a sudden they could see. Once I was blind, but now I see. You know, that kind of situation. That's kind of where I was at. I thought I could see. My mom was trying to tell me the gospel and I need the Lord Jesus and all that stuff. But I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand what she meant. It just didn't register. But praise God, the door of refuge was open the whole time. He was ready and waiting for me the whole time. A life of sin. Many years wasted in do my own thing. You know, living for the world. But the day came. It was not even a Sunday. You know, it was like just during the week, in the evening, you know, after hours, as it were, in a washroom, I understood for the first time in my life, I'm going to hell. You know, I'm in big trouble. I killed somebody. I did much worse. You know, I broke all the laws of God, and I'm a sinner. And I admitted it, and I realized it's very serious, just like this situation. Very serious. God sees everything, and God will judge me for these sins. And death is coming. I better get saved right now. I better get saved today. Now, I'm going to hell. And it really scared me. For the first time in my life, I understood I'm going to hell. Before that, I was going to hell the whole time. I was on the broad road. All the time. I was on this broad road. I didn't realize it. I thought I was okay. Just outside the door. I'm okay. I think I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy. This guy's much worse than me. I've done some good things this week. We can deceive ourselves. We can think we're good. You know, I'm actually a pretty good person. You know, it's insane that we think that. We actually think we're good. I used to think I was a pretty good guy, you know, because I was nice. You know, I did good things, maybe, you know, maybe helped somebody. I did some good things, don't deny that, and people liked me. But that doesn't negate the fact that we're wicked. We're a wicked heart. We've done evil against the holy God. So I thought I was okay, and I went to church sometimes, and I thought that might do me good. But that night I realized, you know what? I'm actually going to hell, you know? And I never understood. I never knew that. I never knew that. Nobody actually ever told me, Mark, come over here. Chat, you know, come over here. What? You're not going to hell? I would have, like, what? Are you serious? You're crazy. You know, if they would have shown me, you know, I would have been startled, you know? But nobody ever told me that, Mark, you're actually going to hell because of your sin. You're going to meet a holy God one day. So nobody really warned me. Nobody really told me. I thought I'd be okay. You know, one day I'll die. Maybe I'll get to heaven. You know, the Bible says there's nobody righteous. You know, and the problem is our sin. And so that day I understood for the first time, by the word of God, I'm actually on the road to hell. And if I die tonight, I will be lost. And there's no question. There's no... You know, I used to think maybe, maybe not. And that's how I was raised. The religion I was raised at, the Hutterites, they kind of said, you know what? Maybe one day you're going to get to heaven. If you're a good person, if you follow all our rules, all our regulations, if you get baptized into the church and you do all these things, you have the best chance of getting into heaven if you stay in this church. And that's false. That's absolutely false. That's like the way of death, you know? And because we're all going down the broad road. So this man had to realize it. He had to get into the road. He had to get in as far as quick as he could.
And the Lord Jesus Christ says, the Bible says, for there's one God, there's only one God, and one mediator between God and man. There's God, and there's man. And there's a big gulf fixed between us. There's a big chasm between us. There's a big problem. There's a big valley. There's a big valley. We cannot get across. There's no hope. All the religions of the world, all the false religions of the world are all over here. All mankind, the whole human family is right here on the broad road leading down to hell. God is over there. He's holy, holy, holy. There's no way we can get across, no matter how we try. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and he bridged the gap. He made a way. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the door of refuge, the door of safety. By me, if any man enters in, he will be safe. You could be 1 inch inside the door. Just 1 inch inside the door, you're safe. You know,
even the door, the picture up there. You can just be inside. You don't have to be far in. You know, you can just be inside the door.
Just believe. Just a touch, the hem of his garment. Just, you know, laid it in the, there's a picture in the Word of God here where this lady came up and she's like, I just want to touch him. Just a touch, the tip of his garment, and I'll be okay. And she did, reached out, she just touched him, and she was healed right away. She just touched him. Just a little touch is all it takes, a touch of faith. And there's a saying, it's not how much faith I have, but it's whose faith I have him. I can have a lot of faith in my false religion. I could have tons of faith. A big mountain of faith in my false church I used to go to. Oh, this church is the best church. It's going to get me to heaven. I'm confident. I'm sure. 100% sure. Doesn't matter how sure I am. You're doomed. You're going to the pit. But I can have a little bit of faith in Christ. You know, you could be shaking your knees. Your knees could be shaking. But you trust Christ, you're safe. You know, even inside the door in Exodus 12, there's this story where they had to put blood on the lintel of the lintel and the doorposts of the door. The blood of the lamb had to be applied. And whoever was inside the door, whoever was inside the room with the blood applied, they could be shaken in there. They could be scared. Will this work? Will this not work? But if they had the blood applied, they were safe. You know, they were safe. When I see the blood, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. If God sees the blood of Christ on us, if God sees we're in Christ, if God sees we're saved, we're okay. You know, it says there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us. That's why he can give us safety. That's why he can save us. He died for us. He died for our sins. He took the payment that we deserved. So that's just a quick summary. I think I pretty much covered most of the things here. And it's a limited time offer, like I said. You know what? There's no point loitering outside. There's no point staying outside. You know what? The best thing to do for all of us here is to come. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me. You know? And when somebody says come, it usually means come. You know? God says, like, if I tell my little child, come over here, you know, come, and they don't come, you assume they're not obeying. You know, if I say, why are you not coming? And then he's like, I am coming. Well, why are you not here? Well, I'm coming like in a while, like maybe tomorrow. Hang on. That's not coming. When I say come, it usually means now, right now. So the Bible says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Come now. It's just a double positive. It's a double command in a sense. Come. It automatically implies right now. But come now is a double. God says, come now, let us reason together. He's reasonable God. He's not unreasonable. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Or your sins be as scarlet, filthy. They shall be white as snow. They'll be like red like crimson. They shall be as wool. So I just want to encourage you. You know, if you have any questions, if you didn't understand anything I said, please ask me afterwards. You know, it's a limited time offer. It's urgent, very urgent. We're guilty. Death could come tonight. We don't know. You know, we live in a very dangerous world. I've had some people die this week. You know, people I know, they died. You know, we always hear, it seems like people are dying all the time now. Maybe the older I get, the more people that I know die. And we're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world? You become a billionaire and you lose your own soul. What's the profit? You know, we're here today, gone tomorrow. And so... one day the door will be shut. It says in Luke 13, and once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, when Jesus shuts, one day the Lord is going to shut the door. It sounds impossible because we're so used to the door being open. We're so used to, oh yeah, there's another day tomorrow. There's another gospel meeting coming up. Tomorrow's another day. We're so used to that. But one day is going to shut the door. Just like Noah's day, the ark. You know, the ark, and Noah said to the people, come in. Come in. Come on. Come in. You know, God's going to judge his world. Please come in. Please. He's going to judge you guys. They refused. But one day the door was shut. And the Bible says the same thing. Like, you know, you look at the chart there, that closed door. Luke 13:25. You'll notice the door is closed past the pillar of death. So before you die, anytime before you die, it's open the doors. If you're breathing right now, you can hear my voice, the door's wide open. But as soon as you die, automatically the doors close on the other side. There's no more hope. You're lost forever. There's no purgatory. There's no other option. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So I think I covered it's a very interesting portion here. You can apply it to the gospel. In Hebrews 7, it says this applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the city of refuge for us. So we're inside the door. I'm inside the door. I'm safe. You know, Jesus is my safety. He's my safety. I don't fear hell. I don't fear death. I'm not worried about my sin because there are none. They're gone. He nailed them to the cross. All my sins are forgiven. All my sins are paid for. I don't have to worry about that. So it's just a wonderful thing to know I'll never see hell. You know, what's the world has to offer? The world has nothing to offer, really, comparatively. You know, just garbage, really, comparatively to eternal life, comparatively to salvation, you know, comparatively to knowing your sins are gone. So may God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless your word. May you seek the Lord today and be saved, you know, because tomorrow may be too late. So thank you so much.